Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Hanako.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, girl. Ready to talk.
And I have a special edition, Daryl.
Hello, I'm just out here barbecuing burgers and steaks and chickens.
Seriously, you're not barbecuing,
sure.
Right?
No, I'm not, there with you.
No, I'm not really doing that. Okay. I just wish I was.
Yeah, I want to play it. So today we're going to talk about True Blood and Hanako's Dragon Con report. She had some new additions to what she does this time this year, and I want to hear all about it. But first we're going to start with the True Blood season finale.
Ooh, honey.
That's the pearls.
Wow.
Right?
What can you say? It was extremely explosive, and I want to start with the most traumatic thing first. Tara got shot in the head.
Wow. I shouldn't be happy when a character is shot in the head. That's not a bad guy, but I kind of did feel relieved that it's over.
I mean, I kind of thought the same thing, too, because when I saw it first, I mean, literally, I screamed in my house. I was like, oh my God, did they really kill her? But at the same time, it's like, okay, we've been talking, anybody who's been listening has known, they've listened to us over the past maybe 2 seasons, say that we're kind of tired of Tara's storyline, or we're kind of tired of, you know, Tara always being the victim and da-da-da-da-da. But I don't think any of us were expecting her to go out quite like that.
Nope.
I have a theory. So if she is still the slightest bit alive,
mm-hmm.
Bill and Eric will feel Sookie's pain and rush, give Tara some blood, and bring her back to life. What do you think?
I know. I think that'll happen, or they're going to turn her into a vampire, one or the other.
I don't know, because, you know, Tara would have been so against that.
Right, that's why they would do it. That's exactly why they could do it.
It was so very shocking. I mean, she got shot in the back of the head, and head chunks came
just
off
everywhere. Ooh,
so
yeah.
Did whining was just all over the window.
And as you, I mean, how do you come back for that? Because usually, you know, if Jason, he got, you know, hurt pretty bad, but all of his stuff was mm-hmm. together, his brain is across the room. I don't know, maybe she's dead for real.
I mean, did you see that pool of blood she was living in, she was laying in? That was a lot of blood. I mean, her head was open.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe the only thing to come back from that would be to make her a vampire if she comes back. As if she comes back.
But does she have the ability to drink? Because you have to be able to get the blood in your system.
Well, this is True Blood. If they really, you know, make it happen.
No, I think they've been pretty consistent with that type of thing. So I don't know. I think Tara's done.
That's what I want. But they don't give me what I want.
I think Tara's done. Yeah, I think they're gonna lay a grave, you know, for her right next to good old Tommy Mickens.
And eggs. Did he get his head blown out the same way?
Oh, eggs.
Well, I don't know. I was kind of tired of her character. Like Hanako says, she didn't grow at all.
Oh, she didn't.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do this season because she's gone. What did she do this season? Not really much.
Nope. She just had a girlfriend and she learned how to fight, but still got captured and chased.
I mean, she was in that little, you know, the little Wiccan thing. And I think she did that more so out of, you know, being scared or displaced, you know, wanting revenge or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Tara's done. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
You threw an RIP on it.
Peace.
First episode of the season, we can see Letty Mae having one of her little.
Oh God, Letty Mae. She's gone. Yeah. It's gonna be a horrible church service. I hope we don't have to see
Lord. Jesus,
my baby.
She gonna fall down on the altar. She gonna fall out real quick.
So, as a result of Tara getting capped, Debbie Pelt also gets capped.
Yes,
that had
you know, I was I was waiting for that to happen because that happens in the book kind of in a slightly different way. But yeah, it was satisfying all the same.
Okay, so she's run her course and this is how she's supposed to die.
In the book she got a shotgun blast to the chest by Sookie. So
for the same reason here?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just basically she broke into Sookie's house to kill her, and I think Eric was with her at the time, but Eric was still in the book. Eric was still
caught it.
Brain damaged.
Don't say that word.
he was still brain damaged. Eric.
Okay.
But she walked in and took a step towards Sookie, and Sookie grabbed the shotgun and just took her out.
Oh.
So it was kind of it was satisfying the way they did it here. You know, she did. You know. Sookie has been so, you know, even with everything that's been happening to her, she's still been like, I don't want to kill if I don't have to. And this was Tara. This was her best friend. And she's like, okay, you know what, bitch? I'm done with you. Bam. It was satisfying.
So is Tara in the books dead?
No, Tara, like I said a couple of episodes ago, Tara really doesn't have as big a presence in the books as she does on the show.
Okay, I forgot.
So she's kind of one of those background characters. Like, you see her every once in a while. Her and Sookie may get together for lunch or, you know, something little, you know, like that. But other than that, Tara is not really a big presence in the books.
And you can tell because they don't know what to do with her.
Yeah, exactly.
They really don't.
They really don't. Well, I thought maybe she was just going to be a witch and do something and have her own storyline, but I don't know. I would love to see her be a vampire. That would be very good.
Oh, more whining. You want more whining?
I don't think she'd whine as a vamp. I hope.
She would. I bet you she would.
I don't know. She might be a stronger vampire, kind of similar to Carolina Vampire Diaries.
You maybe know, like Pam.
I don't think they would do that with her, though. Like, I think she became a vampire, she would drag her feet until eventually she would just accept it. But she would drag her feet about how, why you do it to me? Why you let them do this to me? You know, Sookie, I hate you. Sookie, I love you because you're my best friend. Sookie, I hate you. It would go back and forth with that nonsense.
You're killing me right now.
You know it.
I know, but you're killing me because it sounds like something they do with that character, which it irritates me.
It does. I don't know why they won't stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. But I mean, I kind of had a feeling something was going to happen when they were sitting at the table.
You too.
Talking about, you know, oh, I want to be, you know, I want to be sitting on the porch with my grandkids. And Tara was like, well, you know, I sure hope I get a chance. I was like, okay, something's fine.
I know. I got a red
flag. I
have it in my notes right now, highlighted in my notes. And I was like, I got to be sure to tell Hanako that I had Spidey sense.
Yeah.
She said.
I thought it was going to be something dealing with Pam because, you know, Pam kind of slid off her rocker last night, too. So I was thinking, okay, in a rare emotional mess, Pam was going to finally go after Tara since she couldn't get at Sookie, but
no, because Bill told her that meant the true death.
Yeah, she can't touch it. What she would have done is if Tara's girlfriend had came back, that she'd have been dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Well, it's so many things that could happen with Tara. Some people really just hope she's dead. You know, Rutina, what's her last name?
Wesley.
She's a great actress. I just think she's just being misused like a mofo. Yeah.
Yes. So, I agree with that.
I agree.
Let's go on with the other death, the other main death. Marnie inhabits Lafayette.
Oh, that hurt.
Kills Jesus.
Oh. I felt bad about that.
I did. That
I knew it was coming.
You did. How do you why?
Because he loved her. It loved him. What's his name?
He loved Lafayette.
Yeah. No, the guy that Lafayette's with. What's his name again?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. He loved. They had such a connected relationship. They didn't have any conflicts anymore. There was nothing that'll separate them. They all shared all their lives with each other. There was nothing left to do but just kill them all.
I thought maybe that Jesus was going to go dark and him and Lafayette was going to have a battle next season or, you know, have to fight it out with the weird mask thing that Jesus does. but I didn't think they was just gonna shank him and go.
I thought they were not gonna let them be happy, because that's just not what happens in True Blood.
I got misty eyed on that one.
Unfortunately, that was the spoiler that I read the other night. So.
That sucks, Hanako.
Yeah.
You got to stay off that Facebook.
Stay off her page. I don't know. Well, so that wasn't that much of a shock to you. I didn't see it coming, but I don't know. Hanako?
Because of the fact that I knew going in that he was going to die, I kind of expected it. But as far as prior to being spoiled, no, I didn't see. I saw, like Daryl said, I saw some kind of conflict because of the fact that Marnie was inhabiting Lafayette's body. Mm-hmm. So I knew there would be a conflict there. I thought there was going to be more of a struggle between Lafayette and Jesus. But, Marnie kind of, she took care of that real quick.
Yeah.
And I am sad, you know.
I can't stand her, though. She played her part very well. Yes,
yeah, she did. She did. Fiona Shaw really kicked ass in this role. She did. Yeah. She was great. She was great.
So, did we like her dispatch with Sookie gaining more control over her powers, doing the magic hands, and then we're seeing Adele for the first time in a while?
You know, that was kind of that was good. I like the fact that they did bring back like Adele. They brought back Renee. I was so glad to see his crazy self with that Cajun accent. Oh, love it.
I was wondering why they used the Cajun accent. You know, he was not Cajun. We found that out, so I didn't realize why they do it. But, and it kind of wouldn't have been him.
Because that's the only way Arlene remembers him.
Right.
So I would think that they would stay true to that character in that sense. But it was great. It was great. But now Arlene has a whole nother thing to worry about. So that's going to be great.
So, yeah, they got this new friend. His name is Patrick Devins, and he's from Dawson's Creek, Scrubs, Grey's Anatomy, and The Unit.
Yeah, he played Pacey's brother. I ain't watched Dawson's Creek. I didn't watch that show.
Liar. And so, you know, his face is familiar, but Renee, like Hanako brought up, you know, gave a really, you know, deep, scary warning to stay away, get out, run.
Yeah.
I thought something was up with that friend when that friend came into town on Halloween and they introduced themselves, you know, to each other. I just had a feeling like this guy's going to bring trouble.
Yeah.
Well, the way Terry responded to him, all he had to do was hear his voice, and he knew. He got that look in his eye. He went stiff, but then he turned around and got a little bit warm. But that first initial look in his eye was weird.
He had the crazy eye.
Oh, hell, what are you doing here? It was like one of those, like, he was glad to see him, but at the same time, he's like, oh, this is going to be nothing but trouble.
I don't want
to
go back there. It was that whole, and I think that connects to when he was talking to Andy, when he was trying to get Andy off the stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He went back into what he went through when he came out of the army, and I think that this was just the focal point to, it's just going to be messed up for him now.
Yeah.
Something's weird with the guy because Terry thought he was dead. So it was light outside and he walked in from outside. And unless they have rings like Vampire Diaries, he can't be a vampire.
No, I think it's something darker than that.
I was thinking maybe a ghoul. We haven't seen any ghouls. No, nobody's feeling that. Okay, fine.
I
just can't deny. I can't say yes or no because it's True Blood. Anything could come up out of them.
That's true.
Are there ghouls in the lore at all? Hanako, is this a new character? Is he even in the books?
He's not.
Crap.
Again, see, Terry is one of those. What they've done with True Blood, they've brought a lot of the quote-unquote background characters in the books to the forefront, giving them their own storylines. Terry is pretty much a throwaway character in the books. It's like you see him and then you don't see him. He's at Merlot. You know, sometimes he helps Sookie around her house because Sookie, I don't want to say what happens just in case it happens on the show, but she has quite a bit of problems at her house. And Terry is one of those people who comes and helps her. He builds things. He takes care of things. So he's like, you know, he's here and there, but he's not anybody major in the book. So
he just buries the bodies.
Like I told my friend, one of my high school friends commented on my post last night on Facebook, and he was like, you know, I basically posted that I was shocked about what happened. He was like, what do you mean you're shocked? You've read the books. You know what happened? I said, dude, they stopped following the books like 2 seasons ago. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Just about everything that they're doing now is completely, completely different from the books. Even the stuff that they've taken from the books, like Eric losing his memory, that sort of thing. Now that I sit here and think about it, that might be the only thing they took from the books for this season.
And the killing of Debbie Pelt.
Yes. But
even that was twisted.
Yeah, but both of those things have been changed so that they don't really resemble what's going on in the book. So it's like at this point, True Blood is standalone. I have no clue what's going to happen, and I actually love that about the show. I don't have any expectations anymore.
So how do you think this season compared with like the previous seasons? Where is season 4 on your radar in comparisons to 1 through 3?
I just think it's darker. And it's a little bit more, it's more edgier. And I just think, like I said, they're taking liberties with the story that they didn't take with the earlier seasons. With the earlier seasons, there were still parallels with the books that I could see. And it was like, okay, you see that they are holding on to the books, but it's like now they're delving into new territory, and it's broadening the story a bit. Because, you know, with the books, you only see things from Sookie's point of view, and then you see it from other people's point of view as she's listening in. So we don't get a lot of the background characters. We don't get a lot of the other story. You know, we get to see characters and we get to love characters in the show that we never got to meet in the stories. Luna is not a part of the story in the books. Jesus never existed in the books. If you remember, Lafayette was dead by the end of the first book. So, you know, Lafayette's whole storyline is something that we would have never gotten to experience. So I kind of love what they're doing with the show.
Okay. Sorry.
You know,
go ahead.
I hate that we have to wait until June to see what's going to happen next. But I'm looking forward to it.
What about you, Daryl? How do you feel? You've been watching since season 1, right?
Yeah, this season's felt so scattered until the end, towards the end. So I was kind of on the, you know, with the baby, and then when you had the baby going on, you had the werewolf thing going on, and you had Tommy going on, and like it just seemed like it was just so all over the place.
Right.
So it didn't seem to, I really didn't see the focus until probably the last 6 episodes.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one. It hasn't been my favorite season. Like, I know, like I mentioned this last time, Hanako and I knew exactly how many episodes were left. We couldn't wait each week. And that excitement, I don't know whether it's just me or if it was something that was going on that I just wasn't expecting. I didn't have that high expectation or that high, I need the show. Like every week, I didn't feel it. Like, as a matter of fact, I was so out of it that I thought last week's episode was the season finale. And somebody had to say, no, Kat, no, there's one more episode. So that's, I don't know. It's just season 3 to me was just, it just went to high places because they just were wild and they did crazy things. And first season to me, the love story, really, they haven't matched that. And they're not as skanky as they used to be.
Yeah, so, not enough of that. For me. I mean, I did like the Jessica scenes.
Well, yeah, this is the first time Jessica really kind of got fully naked.
Wow. Yeah, Jessica and Jason were hot.
Wow.
Yeah, they were hot.
I like that he finally told Hoyt. I understand Hoyt's anger.
Whoa, Hoyt has surprised me this season.
What, because he grew some sack?
Hoyt was...
very much so.
Hoyt was like his mama. You can see parts of his mom, like growing up with that woman that is his mother. You could see some of that rubbed off on him because he's all good when everything is good. But with Jessica now, it's like when they broke up, all that little stuff that's inside of him just is starting to come out.
Yeah, he's kind of, he can get a little verbally abusive there for a second, but that his mom is kind of like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his mom's just creepy.
I know.
She is.
Mm-hmm. She's creepy did she creep you out at Tommy's funeral? Yes. You just call me mama now.
That's all weird.
The family we got left. I'm like, Sam was looking at her like, what the hell?
Yeah, don't make no pie, no pork rind casserole. I don't want that.
Yeah, what is that? That's nasty.
I've never heard of that. So that's not, maybe that was made up for the show, but if that exists, that's terrible.
Oof.
That's terrible.
Southern cooking, you never know.
Well, gas in that house?
I didn't want to think about that. Gross.
Like a vampire blow up.
So what do we think about Jason and Jessica's relationship? I understand how it starts for Jason because he's had two doses of Jessica's blood. And then both times she brought him back to life because he had been abused. So I can understand his attraction.
Girl, please. Jessica is a hot chick. Jason is a horn dog. That's all Jason needed. He didn't need the blood. The blood probably enhanced it, but yeah.
She's
now single. Like he told Hoyt, technically she ain't your girl anymore.
No, is she not?
Yeah. Okay, so nobody thought that was kind of wrong of Jason to get in there and.
Listen, hot chick come up to you in that outfit to your house and ask you to let her in.
I'm going to look at it like a crazy because, well, first I'm going to ask her for an autograph, and then I'm saying, dude, why are you on my, you know what I'm saying? It's weird for me.
Come on in. Do super speed if you need to, but come on in.
Do you think that Hoyt and Jessica would have had a closer connection if he had taken more of her blood more often?
Jessica, I see Hoyt. For Jessica was the first boyfriend, the first guy that really said he liked her, first guy that said he loved her. That was her immature phase. Because right now she's still going through that growing up thing. Mm-hmm. This is her college boyfriend. You know, that she had the high school boyfriend, which is Hoyt, because Hoyt is still in the same spot he was in before. He's sitting in the same, you know, he never wants to go out. He's like, he hasn't grown up yet. But Jason, like, even that conversation about sex, her and Hoyt couldn't even have an adult conversation about sex. And she could have that conversation with Jason. You know, there's just an adult type of thing. Jason doesn't sit there prejudging every single thing that she does.
But, you know, I think also at the same time, it's kind of different experiences because Hoyt has only dealt with humans. So he's
never lived
in a relationship from a human standpoint of view. Okay, you know, you committed to me, we're supposed to be together, this, that, the other, whatever. Jason, on the other hand, now has had experience with other supernatural beings and dealing with that whole vampire side through his sister. So I think he can afford to be a little bit more open-minded when Jessica says, it's like he didn't even blink when she made the reference. She was like, you know, as far as not sharing the blood when she said, you know, I'm not ready to be that intimate with you yet. When they just had this, you know, raw power, you know, powerful sex or whatever, she makes that reference. And it's like, I think Hoyt would have gotten offended by that statement. And Jason was like, oh, okay, I understand. And, you know, he even made the comparison to, you know, prostitutes and kissing, but he got it. And I think that's what the draw is for Jessica, that she can be with somebody who is not so restricting.
Well, Hoyt is that type of dude that he would not be, you know, like he would never want his mate to grow up, you know, never try anything new, never explore because he's always worried that he's going to lose her. And that's how I think that's what Jessica was trying to get through to him. Before she started to really lose, you know, feelings for him, she tried to get through to him and he just would not get it because he's just not. His mother kept him locked in that house, in that life for so long. He just doesn't understand it yet because he just hasn't lived. Jason has lived. Jason has been with other women. He understands when you can have sex with a woman or a woman can have sex with a guy and not be in love with them. You know, that you can just have casual relationships. You don't have to be put everything into one person. And Hoyt does that. Like, he had sex with her. He put everything into Jessica. Jessica was his lifeline to everything. I can't live without her. Everything is Jessica.
That was his first as well, so.
Right. That's what I'm saying, yeah. And remember what Jessica said. I don't want to be his everything.
Yeah.
You're putting too much pressure on me. I'm trying to figure out who I am. I don't want to be your, you know, everything. We could be together, but I don't want to, you know, have to be responsible for your entire emotional well-being.
Wow.
I know, it's deep, right?
Yeah, it is deep. I agree with you where Hoyt wanted, you know, her to be the dutiful wife, come home, fix him some dinner, because they had that argument, mm-hmm. and she, like, scrambled him up some raw eggs, and he ate. It was ridiculous. Yeah, that was funny.
That was gross.
And, it became a point where he wanted her to be, like you said, I'm just repeating what you said, he wanted her to be all these things. Mm-hmm. She couldn't do it. And even, for a regular woman, that's pretty hard. But for a vampire, it's a little rough. I mean, because as she gets older, she's gonna want different things, mm-hmm. and she's a vampire, and she has to figure that out. And doing it with podunk Hoyt, I mean,
don't even do oral sex. How are you gonna keep a woman you don't even want to do oral sex
or have oral sex performed? That's what her complaint was.
Well, but yeah, but I mean, you can't even have that conversation. You think you're gonna keep a woman? I mean, it looked like that. That. Please.
That's wow! I didn't think we'd spend so much time on their relationship. Let's go with another relationship that I find interesting. It's Holly, Andy Belfleur, and this fairy.
Holly. Yeah.
And so there's this other fairy that approaches Andy.
No, she's a witch. She's a witch. She was dressed as a fairy for the Halloween thing.
No, Hanako. Uh-huh. I'm talking about the actual
on the road.
Fairy when he was.
Okay, I'm sorry. She said relationship, so I was okay.
It was relations.
And Holly, and then I said Andy Belfleur, and then the actual fairy. I forgot her name.
Yeah.
But I know he didn't imagine that. I have a feeling he didn't imagine it, and it seems like he made some sort of pact. And I think next season there's going to be an issue where Holly might have to defend herself or fight for and over Andy, which
can't you just do that?
I don't know if I want to fight for Andy Belfleur.
Never mind.
What?
Andy, man.
Yeah,
Andy could be Captain inappropriate at times, and when things that he does and says, he gets on my nerves. He's not a bad person, but I'm just not a Andy fan.
Well, I think Hoyt has the potential to be like Andy if he doesn't check himself.
Yes, definitely.
So that we got the same person going on here, but I mean, nobody's red flag. I mean, what do you think about the fairy situation? Do you think he imagined it like Arlene said, or do you think it was there's consequences?
No. He meant that fairy was real, and I think because they can't use Sookie, since Sookie has pretty much denounced the fairies, I think they're coming at it. They're coming at a different angle this time.
Yeah, I think it has to do with Sookie. Yeah, I think it has to do with Sookie. I mean, hell, what doesn't in Bon Ton? But you know, yeah, I think they're coming after her, and they're just using a different approach now.
He's the weak link. He's the weak link in the whole town. Like, he is the most weak minded.
I thought Tara would be the weak link, because at one point, like, when Sookie looked up, she saw somebody coming at her. It was the mob, or Mab, however you say it. But then it, like, morphed into Tara. So I thought maybe Tara would end up having some sort of fairy connection, but they kind of dropped that, and it was just, you know, nothing.
Well, she's a little bit stronger than Andy. Andy, all it took was some sexy woman to just be nice to him and sleep with him, and he was done. He made a pact with her just... After what, 10 minutes?
You just saying that you would let a vampire into your home if she was dressed as Little Red Riding Hood, Hooker Edition. Well, then I don't understand what, you know.
Well, I would lie. I wouldn't do the pact. I would just lie.
Well, maybe he was lying. He just said yes to get some coochie. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, but you know what? They did the little finger pack. So
yeah, don't do the finger pack. You go, yeah, I got you. You all right.
She would have forced you to do the finger pack, and you would have had to do the finger pack.
I'm doing the finger
pack.
Well,
you know, he kind of had to do it in order to get the coochie, so, you know.
I do a fake. You got to do your shoelaces across, and then you do your other hand. You cross your.
You have answers for everything.
You're damn right.
I think his hands were otherwise occupied. So.
Yeah, I think they would rest.
I would, but you know, fairy, Mary.
You know what? I'm gonna have to ask you to stop. So, I don't know. We'll see what Andy has to do. Next season, so I want to get on Alcide.
Bet you do.
I sung that name that came from the soul.
No, but you said it exactly like you meant it. You want to get on Alcide. I want Carl to hear this. You want to get on Alcide.
Hump his leg. Okay, sorry. So he professes his love to Sookie in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do we think here? I mean, he just broke up with Debbie and the worst. I mean, he like, I denounce you. I won't. And he did some sort of speech. And I was.
If only
okay,
you could
here's
that
the thing. This is the thing. In the books, basically, when it's kind of like when you're with someone that's in your pack, you're kind of mated. And one of the reasons why he kept going back to Debbie is because of that bond. Now, when he said the words to her, I abjure you, that means basically you are invisible to me. I no longer care for you. I no longer see you. You no longer mean anything. So literally, like in the books, whenever Debbie was around Alcide after that, it was like she didn't even exist. That was literally how he had to cut ties with her. He had to completely denounce her.
I rebuke you.
And that was why, I think that was why Debbie came after Sookie, because it's like now, you know, she feels like what she did with Marcus was a result of her thinking that Alcide cheated with Sookie. Mm-hmm. So in her mind, Sookie is the cause of whatever problems she and Alcide are having. Nope. So that's
you know
why
what
she goes
she chose.
She's like, now I can't go back to him, period. Like, he will never take me back. Like, once a pack member says they abjure you, you're done. She could be standing in front of him and he wouldn't see her. That's basically how powerful it is.
Well, I think the problem was you had too many wolves in your bed, you know, so that could have been the problem. I don't know why she blaming Sookie for that.
Yeah,
and she, you know, left and strayed away before and he forgave her.
Sure did. Drugged up and crazy.
I don't know. Well, I kind of see, you know, what he did and why he did it. But now I want to know how he's going to respond to Sookie having killed Debbie Pelt.
He going to get over it?
I thought, you
he
know.
I mean, because here's the thing. If you look at it from the facts, I mean, she killed Debbie in her house. What was Debbie doing there in the first place?
That's true.
And you know,
and then you got a head blown off terrace less than 2 feet away.
What did he do with? Remember when Sam's brother got killed, or when Sam's brother got beat up, and then his brother got killed? He went against the pact because he said an eye for an eye. You don't get to do that. I don't care who you are. You
that
don't
was
get
so
to
sexy.
Do that.
I'm so sexy.
Yeah,
it's very sexy. Now I wonder if anybody.
My question is, look at this man just basically put his heart on a platter to you.
He didn't have his shirt
off. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. I love Bill. I love Eric. But put them side by side with Alcide. Warm blooded. That's all I'm going
to
say. I'm
going to need y'all to focus back on the show.
Well, no. Let's go one more thing. Daryl, did you notice this?
You could talk about Jessica in her sex scene and her Red Riding Hood.
That's different.
It's different. Okay.
I rebuke your condemnation tone.
Okay, I have a question. Did anybody, was it just me, or did when Alcide answered his phone at the bar sitting with Sookie, did he answer the phone hello like Scooby?
Yes,
because it sounded like he said
yes, he did. He answered it like he was in a wolf form.
He was just like hello, and I was like, did he just do that? Because I heard it both times.
Well, he went from mid growl to answering the phone.
Hanako, did you notice this or did you look over it?
That growling was sexy.
He ain't make that up. I was growling in 75. He ain't nothing
yeah, but you're not 6'6 and wide as a door.
So I got my one pack is solid.
No, I did not notice the Scooby-Doo, you know, language. But I'm gonna have to go back and watch it just to see if I catch it.
Yeah, you think that Sookie is gonna go after Alcide now? After she dumped the other two guys?
Oh, because she did dump Bill and Eric. Bill and Ted.
I don't think so.
Because she went through that whole thing with mentally, you know, when he said to her, mentally, maybe you need to follow your mind and not your heart, because your heart gets you in trouble.
Sookie ain't that bright.
Nah, she really is not. I'm glad she looked good like that naked, because she is so just not there all the time. So I'm thinking maybe she could be with it. Maybe she wants to be with Alcide, or at least try to be with Alcide, because he seems to be, out of all her relationships so far, the most normal one.
He's not going to make it, because he's too normal. He's probably going to break up. I'm
hoping they bring somebody else in next season.
Who? Uh-oh. A new love? Hanukkah?
Yeah. Book stuff.
Yeah. I'm looking for a new love. That's what she's doing.
Just bust out some Jody Watley.
Things get mixed up a little bit.
I thought so too, because it seems like we're ready for some fresh blood. I'm ready for the...
I am. I'm ready for the new black friend.
Thing too.
Oh, God.
She still loves Bill and Eric. And I think right now, if she were to get with Alcide, she would end up hurting him. And
right. That's what Sookie does.
Yeah, but I don't want to. Alcide deserves better.
Yeah, but he's not going to be better.
You meant Alcide deserves you. That's not Alcide deserves
better. Seriously, I would not be opposed to that, but
put the claws away, Hanukkah. Put the claws away.
No, seriously, I think they're going to need to expand on the whole Wolfpack story, especially the consequences with Alcide killing the Packmaster, because technically now this means that he's Packmaster.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking they were going to do something. I thought that was the other guys calling him, and when he gets there, they're going to be like, well, what the hell are you going to do? You the Packmaster now, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, see, I think we're going to, that'll probably play a big part into the next season, but also the fact that, you know, after he got that phone call, you know, he's taken to this parking garage and there's a hole in the ground with silver chains, so somebody has gotten loose.
I think it was Reverend Newland, because he's a vampire. He showed up at Jason's door, vampire.
No, think back. Where did Eric deposit Russell Edgington on Alcide's property?
I would love True Blood all over again if they brought back Russell Edgington, because that was my mofo. That's what I've been missing this whole season. Edgington.
Oh.
Yeah, that's who I think it was. Because remember, Eric put him in the silver chain. Mm. He put the cement on top of him, and it was on one of the properties Alcide was building on. I think that was Russell Edgington that got it loose. Now,
and how he joined.
If he joined what now?
Well, if he joined now that they're having that little vampire civil war going on, it would be something if he joined. Which side would he join? Even though he hates Bill and Eric, still, what side would work best for him?
He would go with Russell Edgington's side.
Yeah, that's basically what he would.
Yeah, because that's what he does anyway. And speaking of switching sides, we got our final major death, which is Nan.
I was just about to say that. Good riddance to her, too. She got on my nerves.
I don't know. I liked her because she was like the anti-Pam, or the alternate Pam when Pam wasn't around, because they were both kind of bitchy. And she kept things in order. And she was the face of the vampire. You know, every time it was on TV, it was always her. And I kind of enjoyed her like that. But yeah, towards the end, she got a little bitchy, but I didn't expect her to die.
Not like that. That kind of shocked me. I was like, oh, Bill, okay.
So Bill killed her. I think what's going to happen, Bill is going to get her job. Eric is going to become king.
They still got that war.
As king, Bill had more power, which was why he was able to get her to side with him, you know, when it came to some of the stuff as far as what she could and what she couldn't do, he basically told her, okay, you're either going with me or I'll kill you now. So I think as king, he has more power, and I seriously doubt if he will relinquish that power to Eric.
Yeah.
Because Eric would not hesitate to have Bill killed just on the hopes that he can still have Sookie.
I think it's past that now.
No, it's not.
No, but I'm saying it doesn't even matter if he killed Bill. She would still...
That would make it worse.
Yeah, that would make it worse. I think that, you know, that whole thing where they went through, I think it's past that. It doesn't even matter who's in the room. She's still going to have the feelings for the other person, and that's the whole problem. I mean, that's why they're not even fighting with each other right now, because it's like, what's the point?
That's true. Well, who's going to get Nan's job? That's because she came in there. It was all willy-nilly. I lost my job. I quit. They fired me. I don't know. Boom, she's dead. And I'm like, well, that was ridiculous. Who are they trying to who are they going to get to replace her? Because that definitely was a replacement move.
I don't know.
As far as writing is concerned.
If Russell goes back to gathering up the other mythic creatures or whatever they call them, that could be the thing to make the Civil War kind of stop if they have to agree to deal with him.
You know, that's true. You mean if he goes back to collecting werewolves and
right? Because he made whatever. Coalitions with other people. We don't even know how deep it went, and not like he revealed everything. And now that the vampires have been kind of, you know, it's been an all-out war against vampires now in the media.
But have we really seen this war? Because we get little bits and pieces of what's going on in Bon Temps. But what we don't get is, like, you know, in the latest Twilight movie, you know, forgive me for bringing this up, but the latest Twilight movie, they actually went to, where was it, Italy, and met with the heads of state. We haven't had that meeting where we know who's involved. And because right now, for me, for this show, it seems like Bon Temps is the power center. And right. if it's not
Sunnydale.
It's the Hellmouth. And it's like, we need to, why is what they do in that little podunk town so important? And why is the eye always there? And why is, you know, no one else but Nan being the mouthpiece? So.
Well, it seems like that's the one spot where you got all of them there. You got shapeshifters there.
The Hellmouth.
Everything is in that one. And there's so much dark magic from past things that have happened. That it's just, I guess that's just the focal point. I mean,
yeah, it's just a magnet for that kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess so. So, last we saw Sam after he hugged up his new girlfriend, a werewolf was at
it. And I have to say, Sam's girlfriend is sexy as I don't know what.
I know. I don't want to see her nipples ever again.
Yes, I just,
I
will have to thank you. Blood. I mean, they got the dudes for y'all, but they make sure that they have equal amount of hotness for everybody.
I'm going to need you to zip it. And let's talk about Sam. We were talking about Sam.
Yes, because you
guys... a child.
Guys have had plenty of nude eye candy. Do you not remember the orgies from season 2?
But that was some nasty looking people being orgies. I mean,
it's better. This is a little better. This little tight.
One guy that had full frontal, I was like, I didn't ever need to see this. You know, I would rather watch Spartacus than see what he shows.
Let's not talk about Spartacus.
Okay, fine. So nobody cares about the werewolf at Sam's door. Okay, check.
Because I think it's going to stop. I don't think he's going to. Either they're going to do two things. They're either going to do the guy. It looks like the guy is coming in to attack Sam, but it might be he might either disagree with what happened and apologize or whatever, or they take him and then Alcide has to assert his authority to free him.
Yeah,
that just kind of let me know that we're going to be seeing a lot of the wolf pack next season.
Or maybe it was just Alcide coming to hang out. Isn't Alcide black?
Alcide was dealing with the the discovery of Russell Edgington.
See, are you spoiling us on the sly, Hanako, or no. Was that deduction?
No, that was a deduction because, again, they've ventured so far from the books that none of this stuff is even you know, none of this stuff happened in the books at all. So that was really a guess on my part. And it's like, literally, that guess clicked into my mind as we were talking, because when I saw it last night, I was like, okay, why would they just bring a random vampire? And then I thought about it, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's probably what it is. So literally, that clicked into my mind as we were talking about it.
It was the best deduction that I've, and the best eye-catching thing that I've heard. That is so good, because I did not put together. I forgot that Alcide owned property. I forgot that Russell Edgerton was buried on Alcide's property. I didn't understand why Alcide was going investigating, like, are you a CSI? Why are you there? And so until you put it together right here on the show, I just would not have understood.
Yeah, because Alcide owns a construction company.
Right.
That's why, you know, if you remember seeing the signs, mm-hmm. you know, had all his signs around when, and that was the favor that Eric called it, you know, he owed Eric a favor.
Right.
And that was the favor that, you know, that he called in. So
I wonder if one of the old, because that's where the battle really is the old vampires against the younger vampires. So I wonder if one of the older ones got him out, you know, because they need as many allies as they can get.
Mm. Well, he wasn't exactly, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know.
It was an old one. I mean, he was pretty, he wasn't old, but he was an old one.
He was
so dangerous.
Okay.
Another thing I was going to say, as far as the Russell Edgerton thing, when I mentioned on Facebook the other day that I had gotten a spoiler, one of my girlfriends who had gone to Dragon Con, she told me, she said, if it's what I think it is, she said that was already talked about during Dragon Con. Well, I didn't get a chance to make it to any of the True Blood panels this year, unfortunately, because of time and lines. And then one of my panels was scheduled right around the time that they were lining up. So I missed all the True Blood stuff this year. But Dennis O'Hare, who plays Russell Edgerton, was at Dragon Con. So now that I'm thinking about it, and because of the fact that, you know, she did tell me that something was spoiled during the panel, I haven't watched any of the footage from any of the True Blood panels at DragonCon. So now that I have, I'm going to go back and start watching them and see if maybe my theory is correct.
I think it is, because it makes sense now that you said, because for, you know, initially when I brought it up, I thought Reverend Newland had something to do with it. And now, as you explain it, it makes just more sense. So,
yeah, Steve Newland popping up, that was just kind of, I was so not expecting that.
So he's a vampire. Huh?
I thought the vampires had killed him.
I thought,
because you remember he was dead. He was left, chained up when he took Eric hostage and Sookie came to save him. You know, he was left there with the other angry vampires, so I really thought that they had killed him. But,
well, if he's a vampire, he is dead, so maybe they just turned him out of spite. Because that's funny to me. You hate vampires, you get turned into a vampire. Now what are you going to do? You're going to go knock on Jason's door. Why? What are you doing? What do you want? You're going to make me laugh?
I really hope Jason is not stupid enough to invite that man in.
Yeah, because he could just sit in his house and never let him in.
That's true, but he'll be a prisoner too, because he won't.
Not in the daytime.
Well, that's true.
Hmm.
You just got to go home at night. Well, I don't know, man. This is just so much information.
Yeah, it's a lot to process. Like, I got ready to do I don't generally do show recaps, but I always do like a recap after the season finale. And I sat down to write my blog yesterday, and I didn't even know where to start. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to bed to process this. I'll do this tomorrow. I didn't know where to start.
Oh, so what are some predictions for next season? We already said that the werewolves might have to fight Sookie and Sam for the deaths of Debbie Peld and Marcus. What else do we think?
Definitely the fairies are going to come back into play. I think what we saw with the fairies earlier this season was just a teaser. I think that was just kind of to say, okay, yes, they're here. We're not going to give them to you yet, but just know that they are here. And now that we've seen, you know, the interaction with Andy, you know, so far after we thought the fairy thing was done. You know, they killed, you know, they closed the portal. you know, Eric killed Claudine, you know, so I don't know. I think we'll see more fairies next season than we did this. I think this season was the season of the witch. It's like every season you have dedicated to some supernatural beings. The first season was mostly about the vampires. Mm-hmm. The second season was about the Maenad and what she does. And, you know, it's just kind of, you know, the third season we started seeing
werewolves.
Werewolves and right. a little bit of the witchy stuff with Jesus. And the fourth season kind of focused on the witches. And now I think the next season we will probably see more of fairies and werewolves. Now, which one we'll see more of, I'm not sure. But, you know, I think that's probably going to be a big focus for next year.
I was kind of confused that they didn't go more into the fairies this season. I was surprised that it was so witch focused because it was so heavily fairy focused when we, you know, at the first season. I mean, you know, Sookie, the whole basis for the whole first part of the season was Sookie was gone for a year and, you know, she had this thing with the fairies and I think she may have killed Mab. Now, if you know anything about Mab, she's a winter fairy, but she has a counterpart and there's a summer fairy. So it's like the Wicked Witch of the East and the West. So there's two of them. So, and they're supposed to be sisters. So perhaps if they follow fairy lore, then, you know, we'll see something like that. I don't remember the fairy's name that accosted Andy, but it could have been the sister or, you know, someone loyal to, I'm not really sure, but I hope we get more fairies. I have a feeling that we're going on with predictions that Hoyt will go back to his mama.
Yes.
I don't know. I think Hoyt and Maxine are done because Hoyt now is such a different person as far as temperament than he was when he was with Maxine. He was very meek. He was very, you know, didn't really stand up for himself. He was pretty much still a little boy. And I think we've seen now Hoyt has, you know, although not in all areas, he has grown as far as he stands up for himself. Now, you wouldn't have seen Hoyt punching Jason season one, season two.
Maybe once, but not three times.
Yeah, and kicked him too.
Yeah, he was very violent. The things that he said to Jessica, you would have never heard that come out of Hoyt's mouth. You know, I think we're going to see a little bit of a darker side to Hoyt. Mm-hmm. And because of that, yeah, I don't think he's going to go back to his mother. I
think they'll do it, Tommy. I think they'll make him so annoying and you'll hate him. And then something's going to happen to Jason and he's going to wind up having to do something good to save him. Because they always bring back that whole thing where he basically protected Hoyt throughout school. And I think no matter how angry Hoyt is, I think it's going to, if he sees something where he actually, Jason is going to get killed, there's a chance he could die. I think that, you know, he won't forget all of that, you know, history of him protecting him all those times and fighting for him and all that. And I think he's going to wind up sacrificing himself, you know, to help him. And that would be the one thing to mess up Jason and Jessica, because I don't think Jason would be able to deal with that guilt if he knew that Hoyt sacrificed himself for Jason.
Yeah.
Bros before hoes, I guess. I don't know.
That's a good quote.
I do. as far as the, I think we'll probably see more with the shifters and as well and the wares, because that whole crystal storyline still is not.
That ain't gonna end well.
I think, can we be done with crystal, because they really dropped them, and I want them to stay dropped. Because what else do we have to do with them?
I don't know, but I mean, think about it. They brought back Steve Newman from the Fellowship of the Sun.
You're right.
Seen that.
Touché.
In a couple of seasons, so. You know, we may not see anything next season, or we may not see anything until late next season, but I have a feeling that whole thing is not done. I mean, you have to think about it. Jason did kill Felton when he was trying to escape, or, you know, so there's going to be some consequences for that.
That wife is still out there.
The crazy cat wife?
Yeah, the crazy cat wife is still out there.
I don't know. She might not have had that deep a feeling for.
Well, she wanted to run off with Jason, but I'm saying
that's what I'm saying.
Jason kind of pretty much betrayed her. you know, I was getting ready.
I don't know, being raped by like 500 women, while sounds great in theory, he has a right to betray her.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's nuts. She's insane. And that's she's Jason not going to see it like that. Yeah.
He has great hip bones. And she will die before he
does. Stamina, apparently.
Hotness, yeah. Australianess. Come on. Yeah, hello. Stop being so jealous.
Let it go.
Okay, so and one final prediction from me right out of left field: Pam will turn ginger.
No. Ginger is too much of a wuss. That's the whole. If I could see someone being turned to a vampire, I'd rather see Tara turn into a vampire. Because Tara, I think, would turn into a vampire. She would kick ass. You know, she would. I think she would find. She would be able to find a use for all of that rage as a vampire. Mm. Ginger is scared of her own shadow.
Well, Ginger is crazy, so.
I mean, you would be too if you were a paid donor. I mean, that's pretty much what they do, you know.
And they glamour her like every day.
Yes. Yeah, so the fact that she should be brain damaged by now, probably.
She kind of is.
Look, Ginger might not even be her real name, but. Yeah.
I can go with that.
I don't see Pam turning. I don't see somebody as strong as Pam turning someone as weak as Ginger, because then that would be her progeny. No, Pam is a little too. She's a little too stuck up for that.
I think Pam's gonna like.
Well, Pam needs her own baby, because now she feels that Eric has abandoned her for what did she say? Precious fairy vagina.
Yep. Yeah.
Sookie, and so she's upset, and I don't think that Eric actually hates her or anything. They just had a falling out.
Yeah, well, he was like as her father, he was disappointed. He was like a disappointed father who always favored her no matter what she did, and now you know dad has a new girlfriend, you know, and now she's acting like a child. You know, you're not giving me attention.
He should give that Pam some attention.
Yeah, exactly. That's how she's acting. So I think Pam is going to wind up bonding with a human, because that would be so left field for her, the way that she talks about it.
That's why I said she needs a progeny. I don't know if it'll be Ginger, but she needs someone.
No, I think it'll be somebody else. I think she's going to meet somebody that can dish out and is not scared of her. It's going to have to be somebody that's actually not scared to be killed by her. You know, somebody that's not going to sit there and punk out every time she gets upset. So that's what I think is gonna happen. She's gonna meet up with some chick that's gonna be tough and not
Tara's girlfriend.
I don't know. I was gonna say, maybe. I mean, going back to our original, you know, what we were saying as far as Tara being turned, maybe she'll take Tara, because I mean, because here's the thing. One of the things that irritated her about Tara was, you know, Tara basically was defiant.
Yes.
You know, she was like, okay, I don't care that you're vampires or whatever. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. That was one of the reasons why Pam wanted to kill her. Because she's like, okay, you're getting in my way. So who better to turn as far as that situation goes than Tara? Tara would prove a worthy, progeny.
That'd be a funny,
that'd be fun.
Odd couple.
That would be funny. Because, you know, Tara would want to like hurt Pam, but she couldn't because that's her maker. It would be funny, but I think it would actually be good, you know.
And it would protect her cousin, because I think, you know, if Eric or whatever is in that whole situation, she's not gonna hurt her cousin anymore. He'll be protected. So you'll have to imagine the three of them in a room. The conversations that they...
Maybe we'll get first season dialogue again. We haven't had a good AIDS burger rant.
That's what I want. You're like, the three of them in the room. Oh, man. Yeah. Cutting remarks in that room would just be... I could see Bill, who is so stuck up. He wouldn't be able to take it. He would with them three. They could irk him to no end.
Okay. Well, if anybody has any final predictions or final thoughts on True Blood, get them out now.
Can we please not wait till June? Somebody needs to talk to Alan Ball.
I can wait, girl. Yeah. I'm good.
I want them to do it right. I don't want no Russian.
Yeah, no Russian.
I want them to be focused, actually.
You want more naked Jessica is what you
want. Yeah.
Okay, calm down.
Oh, sorry.
A little too excited. Well, maybe we'll get some full frontal LC. That'd be great. No, I don't want it. I don't want to see it. Not really. Mm-hmm. I want it to be a surprise. If we, okay, whatever.
No, not
ooh, did you hear that LC is going to be in this new stripper movie?
Yes.
Look, did you see the hand on the table, Daryl? That's enthusiasm right there.
I think the table about to break. Like, what?
That was some enthusiasm. That woman knows. She knows.
Have you seen that cast? I mean, have you seen that cast list?
It's cast list. I heard about it, and I was just like, ooh.
I know nothing about the stripper movie. What is
it? Okay, hush it, Daryl.
Alex Pettifer. Yes, I will be there.
Oh, man. I will put dollars in any man's.
Okay, can y'all like calm down to explain to me what are we talking about? Stripper.
You know what? Get Google. Let's move on.
Oh, is it a male stripper film?
Yes.
All right, I don't want to talk about it. Never mind. I thought it was.
Ooh, I hope they wear like firefighter uniforms and then take it off.
I'm shutting it down.
Take it off.
I'm shutting it down.
Baby oil all on their glistening pectorals. Okay. Sorry.
If he don't have a one pack, I don't want the movie to happen.
You're attracted to one pack men.
No,
all right, Daryl.
One pack men need to be represented in Hollywood. All this damn six pack crap. I want the one pack brothers to be out there.
Okay, Daryl. Now let's get to a fun part of the show where Hanako tells us about her adventures at Dragon Con. We had Carl tell us like about his time at Dragon Con, cracked us up, and now I want to hear what Hanako did and crazy things that you did. And
oh God,
how was it?
Okay, I would say this was the best Dragon Con for me. I've been going since 2007. This was the absolute best.
Sweet.
Didn't get a chance to do everything that I wanted to do, but some of the stuff that I didn't think I'd get a chance to do, I was able to do, and that kind of made it for me. I got to sit on two panels this year. I did two Harry Potter panels, which was a lot of fun. I had a good variety of co-panelists, one of them being Todd McCaffrey, the sci-fi writer. There were two other authors on one of my panels. Beth Rivas and Tracy Akers were on the panel, and we had a lot of fun with that. But my big thing this year ended up being the Being Human stuff.
Yes. You got video.
I was able to interview all three of the main stars from the U.S. version of Being Human, Sam Witwer, Sam Huntington, and Megan Rath. Got to go to a couple of their panels. I went to the Friday panel with just Huntington and Rath because Witwer was not there. There was apparently some kind of miscommunication as far as when he was supposed to be picked up or brought in or something. So he missed Friday, but Sunday, believe me, they definitely made up for it. That was probably one of the best panels, if not the best panel I've been to at Dragon Con.
Huh.
It was all over the place. It was serious. It was funny. We had chairs and water bottles flying and stars running across the stage with their hands. It was so crazy, but it was so much fun. And it was really fun to see them talk and interact with each other, because you could see that the chemistry that they have on the show is very much a part of them as people, because they have great chemistry together. Just, even catching them in little moments, when they're not on stage, just kind of walking around the con or just seeing them around the convention, you could tell that they're really close friends. And so it was great to watch that. But then to see them up on stage and answering fan questions and just being all out silly, it was a lot of fun. I'm so glad they got to come. I hope they come back next year, but it was so much fun.
How was it to get video interviews? This is your first year doing that, yes?
This was my first year not only just doing that, but these were my first celebrity interviews, period. Megan Rath was my very first. So, and I think you could kind of tell in the videos, because the first video, I guess you could tell I was a little nervous, but the more I got to know them over the weekend and to talk to them, it got a little bit easier, especially once I knew what questions would get the best responses from them. I haven't posted the Sam Witwer video yet because I'm still I had some problems with my computer trying to upload videos and stuff, but he was the one who got the most detailed about his character. And it's like, you ask one question and he can tell you right off the bat, you know, what he's doing with the character, how he's approaching the character. It was very, very focused, his interview. And whereas Sam Huntington, his was funny. You know, it was like we started off on a playful note, and it was just he talked about his character, but he was also very funny with it. So
yeah,
it was a lot of fun doing those interviews, and I hope I get a chance to do more next year. But that, you know, for those to have those three as my start, I don't think I could have done any better.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I loved it. I saw the one interview that you have up on your website now. And I guess when you get other ones up, I'll put them in the show notes so people can get a look at them. Because the one that I saw, it was really fun. Y'all were joking back and forth. And it was just, I don't know. It was like, look at Hanukkah. That's our Hanukkah.
She's a pro, I tell you. So, she knows what she's doing.
That's pretty awesome.
It was a lot of fun. I did get a chance to, you know, this is kind of a running joke between some friends of mine and I, but you know, back in 2008, I got a chance to go to the first Icon convention, which was Supernatural, and I met Jim Beaver there, mm-hmm. Along with some of the other stars. And just, you know, I've mentioned Jim Beaver's name on Twitter a couple of times. You know, he's asked questions like, "Okay, I know I've met most of my followers before at conventions, but of course, with all these people, it's kind of hard to place usernames with real names." So, you know, while I think there was one time he was in between scenes. So he asked, okay, you know, tweet me back and let me know where I met you. How did I meet you? And so I did tweet him back, and it was some kind of funny little tweet. Like, I was the half black, half Japanese girl you met at Icon. I don't know if you remember me. He tweeted me back, of course I remember you, Hanukkah Ricks. I mean, knew my whole name. And it was like, weird, because this was like a year and a half after the convention. So that kind of threw me. My friends were like, "Oh my God, he remembers your name." So there have been a couple of other times on Twitter where we've had that kind of exchange where I would mention him and he would come back at me with my name. So my girlfriend said, "Are you going to go up to him at DragonCon to see if he still remembers you?" I said, "Of course I am. I just want to see." So literally, and there's a point, that, the Walk of Fame, which is where all the celebrities go to do their autographs and everything. He was towards the end of his time at the Walk of Fame, and everybody else was out, I guess, on their lunch break. So it was kind of a in-between thing. So at the time that I walked in, no one was in there. So I was able to walk right up to the front of his line. And I just walked in and I was like, "Hi, Jim." And he looked at me, he said, "Hi." I said, "I just want to know if you still remember me." He was like, "Of course I remember you, Hanukkah Ricks. How are you?" He got up and gave me a great big hug. And my daughter is looking like, "Wow, he does remember your name." And so he talked to her. We spent about 15 minutes talking to him. He called my daughter. I called my oldest daughter, who was too tired to get out of the bed that morning to come to Dragon Con. I called her on the phone and he gets on the phone messing with her. You know, he's like, "Hey, is this, you know, is this Michaela?" She's like, "Yes." He's like, "Hi, Michaela, this is Bobby Singer." And she starts screaming on the phone.
So cute.
So he sat there, he talked to her for about 5 minutes, and then he talked to us for a little bit more. He told us a very funny story about his daughter. And, you know, we just sat there and just shot the breeze with him. And then after that, you know, fans started coming in. So we kind of moved to the side. After that, you know, we got to meet Mark Sheppard and, you know, chat with him just for a quick second, took a picture with him. I talked to Samantha Ferris and, you know, I was telling her that I had met her at Icon as well. And I had given her a little, gift at the end of Icon. I had brought a souvenir shot glass from Atlanta. And I gave it to her at Icon because she was hanging out, you know, with the fans, having drinks, that sort of thing. So I felt like, okay, she might appreciate a shot glass. She told me she still has that shot glass. So I was like, "Oh, that's awesome." So, but I mean, it was a lot of fun. You know, I hung out with my group of friends. A lot of the people that I hang out with at Atlanta HP, you know, were there. So we got to do a lot of hanging out. And, you know, I hung out with Anthony Liggins, who, you know, runs blackgeekdom.com. He was my camera person for the interview. So big shout out to Ant. That was my role dog that weekend. So
yeah, that's cool. We've had Ant on before. Y'all know him.
Yep.
Oh, so y'all, you both of you and Aunt got pictures of Alcide's ass.
Whoa. Whoa. You don't put that out there like that all willingly.
No, he took that picture for me because his camera is better quality
than mine. Whoa. Oh, so he took the picture. Okay.
He took one of the pictures and I took the other one. But basically, we were just trying to get shots of him because that particular morning, I was in line for the photo ops. And when I tell you, that line wrapped around the building for True Blood photo ops. Wow. And I looked, I said, okay, there's no way I'm going to get in for this photo op because the photo ops were scheduled for 10 o'clock that morning. Their panel was at 11:30. So I knew there was a chance I wouldn't be able to get the photo op. I, as a rule, I don't pre-order my photo ops because a lot of times you have celebrities that cancel due to work commitments. So I didn't pre-order my photo ops, which is a lesson I learned for this year. I will be doing that next year. It's like, you know, every year things kind of change. Last year, the photo op lines weren't bad. But I guess as your viewership grows and as the popularity of your show continues to grow, then those type of things, you know, you got to expect a line. But I sat there in line for about 45 minutes. And while we're standing there in line, Aunt just kind of, he nudges me. He said, Hanukkah, look, there's your boy. So I turn and look, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not getting that photo op now. He was like, well, we could try to just get a photo. So we just kind of walked to the corner where he was walking and just.
So you stalked him.
Yeah, it did look kind of stalkerish, but I still appreciated it. I was like, oh my God, we get to see his back.
Stalking, following him across the street into the hotel, and yeah, that would have been stalking. I only followed him a few feet, so but I just really.
When he got home, I was sitting in the living room, and I said, well, "What are you getting upset for? I'm just here to talk to you. I don't mean nothing by it."
He would have like done a quick picture with you, just for free, just for a fan. You think he was in that mood that where he wouldn't have accepted it, or what?
Well, see, here's the thing: they have handlers with them at Dragon Con, and the rule is supposed to be that they are not supposed to take photographs that aren't in the photo op.
Yeah, handlers are a pain in the ass at times. Sometimes.
Not at times, but this year, fortunately, the ones that I had a chance to deal with, especially with the Being Human cast, I talked to some great people. They were very, you know, and I think it also has to do with maybe the agents that they work with,
yes,
or the actors and the actors themselves, because yes, the handler that was with Megan Rath, she told me, she said, oh my God, this has been the easiest Dragon Con for me. She said, not only Megan, but the two Sams, she said, they are all just such great people. They're so friendly. They love the fans. She was like, they're like eating this atmosphere up. They're like, okay, can we go play? You know, can we go be fans, and can we go, you know, can we go play around in the con too? So the handlers this year, I have dealt with some less than desirable ones in the past.
Oh.
That weren't amused by the fact that the stars themselves said, oh yeah, you can take my picture. And they're like, no, you can't take pictures. They said I could. You know, so.
So
I didn't really want to bother him while we were taking the picture. And actually, the ass shot was kind of an accident. It was turned to the side.
As I climbed through his hotel window.
He turned to the side when I went to snap the picture, and then he turned back because I guess he was talking or he was answering a question from somebody. So it was kind of funny. I was like, okay, now these people are going to think I was stalking him to take a picture of his
back. But you were stalking him.
It did look like, oh my gosh. But I was just like, oh my God, he's there in the flesh. They got to see him. Ah. But it was a hilarious picture.
It didn't end in a restraining order.
Yeah.
and the sad thing is that was the only time the whole weekend I got to see anybody from True Blood. That was disappointing.
Easy.
It is, but you know, it was so weird because they had a lot of great panels scheduled at the same time. So it's like you kind of have to pick and choose. Like Friday morning, I could have gone to True Blood, but I ended up going to Tom Felton instead because, of course, you know, I gotta represent for my Potter people. Yes. And, you know, I thought I was going to have two other opportunities over the weekend, and stuff just did not work out that way. Sunday, I made a last minute decision on Saturday to bring my daughters to Dragon Con on Sunday, which I didn't think I was going to be able to do financially, but I decided to go ahead and, you know, bring them, and I ended up bringing just one of my daughters. Like I said, the other one, she stayed up late the night before. She didn't want to get out of bed. So Sunday morning, I spent a lot of time in registration, trying to get her badge. So by the time we got out of registration, they had already closed the doors for True Blood. So I couldn't get into that panel, and I was a little disappointed, but you know, overall, I did pretty much what I wanted to do with the weekend. I got to hang out. I got some great photos. There's some people watching. I got some interviews. ran into a couple of celebrities just, you know, off the bat. Anthony and I were sitting outside the media interview room chatting with one of the representatives from Marvel Comics who was there. Mm-hmm. And Colin Ferguson walks out of the room.
Woo!
Look at him, and I went, oh, my God, that's Colin Ferguson. He says, hey, guys, how are you? He puts his bag down. He shakes our hand. He's like, hi, what's your name? I'm Colin. And he's talking to us, and, you know, we're just shooting the breeze with him. And, you know, Anthony talked to him, let him know how he thought Eureka was one of the best shows on TV and how disappointed he was that it got canceled. And, he basically, yeah, we're all disappointed, too. But, you know, we love that, the fans here at Dragon Con have come out. You know, they've been very supportive, and we appreciate it. And, you know, he was like, it's been great to be here. And he talked to us for about 5 minutes. And then he was like, well, you know, I have to go. But it was nice, you know, meeting you guys and talking to you. And I hope you guys have a great time. And we were sitting there like, that was fucking Colin Ferguson. It was great because he was so, you know, all the stars that I've had an opportunity to meet at Dragon Con, for the most part, have been very friendly, very, you know, just very, they seem very happy to be there. And it was great. You know, Will Wheaton walked past us coming out of the Walk of Fame.
Shut up, Wesley.
Vampire Diaries Sarah Canning walked past me in the Walk of Fame, and it took me like 2 minutes to recognize her because she looks like Jenna, but she doesn't look like Jenna. In person, she's smaller. She's more petite than I thought she was. And she looked young on the show. She looked younger when I saw her. I thought she was a teenager.
Did you tell her to say hi to Kat for me?
Like I said, she was walking past me, and it took me a minute to say, oh, my God, that was Sarah Canning. And Anthony was like, who? I said, that was Aunt Jenna. So, I mean, it was just great. It's like people just walking past. Tom Felton was going around the convention with the camera talking to fans, and he was being a fan, basically. We came across him. He was interviewing some guy in a Where's Waldo costume, and it was just great to see the celebrities just kind of walking around, having fun, enjoying themselves. It was really fun. You know, and then I think a lot of it also had to do with the fact that Dragon Con kind of, they got a little bit more strict with their security measures this year. In years past, we've had a lot of problems from non-con goers who have come into the buildings, come into the hotels, and they've pretty much harassed some of our female costumers who are wearing, I guess you could say, like, less revealing costumes, like the slave Leias. Or we had a lot of problems last year with people who were trying to, you know, they were being a little bit more hands-on than they should be.
Yeah, and I think I've had problems with women touching me when, you know, at cons.
You know.
But being a celebrity, I understand.
All right, one pack.
They want to be like, let me rub the one pack, baby. And I go, oh. Daddy says it's okay. You get one rub. Okay.
You know, these are fantasy conventions, so we'll let Daryl have his fantasy.
Bless his heart.
They kind of locked down on people who didn't have Dragon Con badges coming into the hotel that after certain hours they were checking badges. So I think that kind of lent to the better atmosphere this year, because it was genuinely people who wanted to be there and who wanted to, you know, who were part of the convention. So it was, like I said, for me, this year was probably the best since I've been attending. Not that the others have been bad, but it was just my experience this time was just so much better.
that so I had is a great time. Awesome.
You got something else coming up, right?
What? I did get to see Carl marching in the parade with the Ghostbusters. So that's awesome. Didn't get a chance to talk to him this year. Didn't see him.
You wear the Superman outfit?
Not a Superman. I saw him. He was a Ghostbuster Saturday morning during the parade. And then when I saw him Sunday afternoon, he was walking around the Walk of Fame as a Men in Black. But I was waiting to do my interview, so I couldn't just leave and go say hi because right. I didn't want to miss the opportunity because it was right towards the end of the day. The stars were getting ready to actually pack up to go to the airport to catch their flight because they have already started shooting season two, the Being Human cast. They've already started work on season two.
So didn't I make a promise if they made it past season two that I'd check it out?
You need look, don't go past it. You just need to go ahead and watch the show. It really is a great show. It's a lot of fun to watch, and it's just a great show. You need to watch it.
Oh, and Kat, Eric Wallace, the writer on Eureka, he said don't give up on Sci-Fi Network. Watch Alphas.
Tell Eric, Mr. Wallace, that I respect him because of Eureka, but I am not watching Alphas at this time. I won't say that I'll never do it.
I've heard a lot of good things about Alphas, though.
Yes, he knows the people.
Well, one of the main actors in Alphas was in Apollo 18,
Ooh.
A movie that I did not care for.
It got to work. I mean, they can't, you know, somebody give me a check. I'll be in a dumb movie, too.
Right.
You can't blame him for that. I mean, it wasn't his fault.
Okay, yeah. We'll just
that could have been the fault of the writers. So,
right. You
know. Okay, I'm not blaming him. I'm positive. I'm just saying what I will. He's better off for me not watching because I won't have to say anything negative. How about that?
Wow.
It's great.
Harsh.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. But yeah, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to your interview with Mr. Wallace. And did he talk about your work at all?
Definitely. And when I interviewed Adam Glass for Supernatural, I asked him about Supernatural too.
Okay, cool. I haven't listened. Those are queued up for me to listen to. I haven't listened to them yet. Didn't you just put the Eric Wallace out today?
No, day before yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, I just retweeted today, so I thought it was just today. Whatever. We'll put links to the show notes so you can listen to those. I'll put links to Hanako's videos, and you can go see those at any time. They are absolutely adorable. Any last thoughts, guys?
Nothing. I think Daryl was trying to ask me. There is a Vampire Diaries convention again next month. Halloween weekend, Icon is coming back to Atlanta, and they're bringing like 10 of the cast members. So
which cast members? Because that could still
Ian Somerhalder is coming, Nina Woo! Dobrev, Stephen R. McQueen, Woo! Katarina Graham, Joseph Morgan, who plays Klaus, Daniel Gillis, who plays Elijah, Kayla Ewell, who plays Vicky, Melissa Jow, who plays Anna, Gino Pesci, who plays Maddox, who was Klaus's warlock. He had Lucas' sister, and then he had the warlock guy. Oh. So yeah, that's him. And then Luca is coming. Yeah.
Well, you right tell Kat, you tell Kat that I won't be able to see her this year, but
think you should just leave that alone.
And I'm thinking about her because she knows my name because of the restraining order. She knows.
Yeah. That's sad.
She know my name. So,
That really is sad.
It expires next year. So.
But no, seriously, I'm going to put this challenge on here. And Kat, don't you erase this. I'm challenging both of y'all to be at DragonCon next year. Y'all have 300 and something days to plan it.
It's easier for you to go to DragonCon because you live in Atlanta. So you can't be that hard on us.
Yes.
It's a little bit more expensive coming out of town.
Yeah.
Plus, I can't. I'm a little less...
tolerant.
Fussy could be the prima donna has been said.
Yes.
So
Diva Queen punch in the mouth if you get too close.
I want only green M&Ms.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I'll do that, but I have to have the correct conditions and the right amount of money to go.
I mean, I'm a media mogul and all, but I'm gonna try to come, but you know, I got a lot of the cons that I have to go to for my fans, and I gotta budget it right.
Yeah, budgeting it right.
Yeah, I got to budget it right. But, I need my drinking money. I can't. I ain't got no drinking money. I can't go.
Right. Well, you got that sexy one pack, so girls will just buy you a drink.
I don't want that. Broke my drink.
Well, now that they have the little scan code thing and the lines are a little bit better, and a little, you told me about the security messages. Mm. I can appreciate that. I hate unorganized events. I hate the feeling of helplessness with unorganized events. And
I hate it too.
That was a big turnoff for me with Dragon Con. So
I hate lines. I hate long lines.
Only if it's an iPhone will I stand in line. And then that's.
Well, Steven, what we just need to do is, you know, we need to see what we can do to get y'all here. We just need to, because I mean, there's so much going on, and there's so many of your, you know, your favorites that are represented. It's almost like a crime not to be here.
Right.
You know, I mean, people make the comparison sometimes between Dragon Con and Comic Con, and I've actually had friends who've attended both. And they've always said, you know, Comic-Con is the place to go when you want the swag or if you want to see, like, the big stars. But as far as the fan interactions, the parties, the just the feeling of family, Dragon-Con is the place to go. It's like Dragon-Con is the weekend that I look forward to most during the whole year. Because I know I get to see all my friends from around the country and, you know, we'll all get to, you know, just have fun. Do the things that we want to do, see the celebrities we want to see, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I think you guys would.
Well, I will see. I know I bought a ticket for it one time and didn't show up.
Wow.
So I'll
or prima donna.
So money.
Well, you know, somebody got that money and it helped something. Make the barcode system, okay? So saying that I bought a ticket is not really.
Jeez. Well, you want the jet to come pick you up from there, or you, what do you need? What do you need?
I want you with your one barrel to come pick me up.
I'm on the barrel. We rolling.
All right, guys. That's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline.
Stay off my page.
Stay off our Facebook page. No, go to our facebook.com/scifipartyline. And thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
End of line.